from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I want players that want to be here, and players that give me a quick, I'm not sure I want to be a Sabre because of whatever, then we move on to the next. I don't even give it a second thought. But yeah, it doesn't even really faze me in terms of any of that type of stuff. But yeah, of course, there's always going to be part of that. We have to hold up our end of the bargain here and win more hockey games, become a playoff team that's year after year there. But we're on that journey now, you know, and that's where we need to take a step, and we need to do it this year.
Sabres general manager Kevin Adams. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy will be in about an hour. We'll have Matt Beauvais on at 8:30 as well. Sabre development camp continues. What are we looking at for schedule today? We're looking at, I know tomorrow morning is the 3-on-3 scrimmage.
Yep, 9:15.
What's today? Today is 11-12. 11-12. Go see some Consta Helenis. And others. A couple of local, Gavin McCarthy, Patrick Geary, they're drafting the local guys. They brought in Dennis Gilbert the other day as well. So the junior Sabres starting to churn out some prospects. At least, you know, guys that are getting drafted. 803-0550 is the phone number. So Adam's there on players that don't want to be here and how he doesn't give it a second thought. We talked about that a little bit yesterday and how I don't want to believe him 100%. Because it'd be crazy if someone goes, I don't know. And you just go, up, never thinking about him again. The Sabres, this is where I'm at with all of this. With, do you guys want to play here? How big a problem is it? I think if you look back in their history, there are many examples of them running into problems, even when they weren't in a 13-year playoff drought. Remember when Darcy had the chains off and Pegula came in and said, you can spend to the cap, you can do whatever you want. And Darcy tried to go in, right? He tried to go all in. Sign Erhoff, let me sign Leno, and let me try and trade for an older, stay-at-home, second-pair defenseman. They traded for Robin Regier. Robin Regier was not a superstar player. He was not Sidney Crosby. He was a longtime Flames defenseman that never put up anything in the sense of points, but he was a good, steady, stay-at-home defenseman. And he's 31, and the Sabres want to trade for him. So they do. And he tells them, no, I have a no-trade clause. I'm not waiving it for you. That was in 2011. That a guy who wasn't that great, he was okay, he was good, he had a role, but he wasn't some star player, told them no. And that was not on the heels of a 13-year playoff drought. That was on the heels of making the playoffs and having a new owner come through the door. We're going to build this new hockey facility next door. We're going to spend to the cap. We're going to invest more money. Time, everything right now. We're sole existence for sole reason for existence is to win a Stanley Cup. All the vibes were through the roof that offseason. And Robin Regier told them no. How Slava Kozlov, like how many other examples are there throughout time? I'm sure there's plenty. I found a clip or a comment quote from Chris Drury yesterday when he got traded to Buffalo, where I don't think they had no trade clauses back then, or at least he didn't have one. And his first comment upon getting traded to Buffalo was, yeah, I don't really know how to feel about it. I mean, they're not, even when they weren't, Drury might have got traded in a dark time. That might have been bankruptcy. But you know what I mean? In general, if the guy doesn't know about the area, hasn't been here, experienced the hockey market, they don't know what it's like. So
this could even branch to the Bills too. I mean, think about like when Jim Kelly came here. Like,
oh sure, yeah.
Like it's just
it's going to be a little harder.
You're competing with big markets.
Yes, that's always going to be there. That's always going to be there, and you're always going to have a little bit of a tougher time than right the Rangers will or the Leafs will or a bunch of those teams. But then you add the drought on top of it. You add the reputation of the club on top of it. And I do think it's right that most players in the league, if not all, that have no trade protection, have the Sabres listed. Like, what would we say is a good reason to play here? And one thing you could say is how much we care about it, right? How much do we care about the team? You'll be a rock star here if you want that. Not everybody does. Not everybody wants to be hounded every time they go out. But if you want to be a star here, you go out and everybody, a lot of people are going to recognize you. And if you're good, you're going to be a king in this city. But other places, you know, Dallas, Florida, you'll fade into the background. You can walk through the mall and not be noticed. And some guys like that. So it depends what you want. But how do you know that that's what it's like here? When they're good. When a lot of these guys, like Martin Nietzsche, who's 25 years old, was 10 the last time the Sabres were legitimately good. How's he supposed to remember that? Do you remember, as a Sabre fan, what... Do you remember those Minnesota Wild teams of 2010? Or of 2007? Who else was good? The Devils teams of then. Maybe you do a little bit. Do you remember what it was like there? Like, what are they supposed to know about what it was like here if they weren't here? The thing that would get them to come here, I just don't think is reasonable to have any value to them. So, okay, if it's true, and I think it very much is, that they have a tough time getting players to come here, how much of an excuse is that, though, for Adams? Where we're at with the GM is very interesting because he is not someone that was hired from a typical hockey background. GM background, I should say. And that, you know, had him not getting a lot of favorable reviews or maybe not a lot of hope that it would go well from the outset. I mean, who, when he was hired, would have had much confidence that, oh, this is going to go great? You might like Kevin Adams a lot as a person, but if you're a Sabre fan and you see, okay, they fired Jason Botterill, thank goodness, we're sick of that. Okay, they brought in Kevin Adams, or they promoted Kevin Adams. Like, oh, okay, VP of Business Administration, right? And before that, you know, would have worked in the Sabres organization for years and in a multitude of different roles. Assistant coach, way back when, played in the NHL, which I don't care about. In fact, I think it's kind of ridiculous how many former players are GMs in the league. But if you like that, he's got that box checked. But that resume did not scream out, oh, this guy is just banging down the door to be a general manager in the NHL. Your starting point was a little weird. But why, he was hired because the Pegulas trusted him. And I remember that press conference that Terry and Kim did when they announced Adams as the GM. And the part of their reasoning on why they thought it would work was they felt let down by hockey people. They said that. They felt let down by hockey people. And here was a guy in Kevin Adams that they trusted because every role they had put him in, he did well in. So let's do that with general manager. Not your traditional, hey, let's do a search. Let's go interview candidates from other teams. And let's bring in this guy who's an assistant GM and has been in training on this other team. He's going to come over here and he's going to build it up. We might not have a lot of previous experience with him, but you know, this is the best candidate on the market. Guys like that get 4 years, like we've had here, and don't make the playoffs. And if you're not if it's not going well in year four, well, that's all she wrote. That's all you get. But is Adams going to be the same situation? Is Adams different? Does Adams get to go for as long as it takes? Does he get to go for 5 years, 6 years if they don't make it? You'd like to think there's still some standard for, all right, sure, you've drafted well, but when it's time to make these moves, I can't get them done. Now, how much of that is his fault, though? And how much of that is a legitimate excuse in his defense? And I do think it's probably some. But how much do you accept players not wanting to play here as an excuse for Kevin Adams, as a defense of his inability or the team's inability to get the big splash trade done, the top, as I'll point out again, and it's going to be, to me, the theme of this offseason. You know, they can talk about how they improved the bottom six, and I'm sure that will be talked about a lot. How, hey, their goal this offseason was, we're going to remake the bottom six, and that's our priority one. And I don't buy it. I'm not telling you that wasn't a priority for them and that they didn't want to do that. But I'm not buying for a second that was their top priority. When all of the reporting from people that are plugged in, you know, it's not your hockey blog message board. It was Elliot Friedman. It was Pierre LeBrun. It was Dave Pagnotta. Maybe there were others that for months, would point out, what do the Sabres want to get done this offseason? Oh, I think they want, guys, the guys that are plugged in the league said what they wanted was a top six forward and a third line center. And I guess I could have been wrong. How could it be wrong, though? Those things seemed obvious that they would want. You want a top six forward and you want a third line center. It'd be crazy to me if they didn't want those things. But we had credible reporters out there saying, yeah, this is what they want. They want a top six forward and a third line center. And we're sitting here on now July 3rd, and they haven't got it done. They haven't added either of those two things. So, for me, the theme of this offseason, as much as it'll be, well, we improved the bottom six, we got tougher to play against, it's also going to be, you swung and missed on the two things you wanted most. And again, I don't know, though, how much criticism I want to levy against Kevin Adams for that. I think it's got to be a good amount, though. It can't be, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a legitimate roadblock with a lot of these players. Maybe they were going to get Martin Nietzsche's and he told them no. I don't know. Be nice to know that, right? Because it'd be much easier to evaluate the job the GM is doing if you know, like, what are your roadblocks? What really is the extent of them? Because we know that it's on some level. But is it just impossible? Is it impossible? Is anybody that's sitting in that chair going to run into the exact same problems that you are? Where we have to just wait, basically. We have to wait for this team to internally and naturally grow. That we have to wait for all the picks to hit. We have to wait for all of the young guys to grow together, for it to mesh, for them to get to the playoffs. And then, once I've established some credibility in the NHL as a team, as an organization, then maybe I can start pulling off some of these finishing moves that we need to. That might be their only path. Might be all that's available to them. But this is where I get tripped up, because it is still the job of the GM. Hey, if the weaknesses that we've identified are, what do we need to push this team into the playoffs? We need to end this freaking drought. How are we going to do it? And if the two things you identify are a top six winger and a third line center, and whatever the reasons are, you can't get yourself to get those two players. I mean, it's time to try somebody else. Is it time to? I mean, I'm wondering about names like Brian Burke all of a sudden. I've never liked that idea, or a guy like that running the organization. Jim Rutherford. I mean, Ken Holland just retired, didn't he? But like one of these lifer hockey executives that are, in my opinion, just dinosaurs in the league. That, like, honestly, I don't want to end up there. I want to believe that the way Adams has tried to build his hockey department, the way he tries to identify players, the way he pays guys right away, he's leaned in more to analytics with building an analytics staff, Karmanos. I want to believe that way can work and should work. But if I can't get it done when I need things, when there are important pieces on the team that I need to have and I can't buy them, do I want to allow at some point someone else to take a swing at buying the same thing? And I don't know, like, the reason I bring up Burke and Holland and Rutherford, is Rutherford even available? Isn't he running a team right now, by the way?
He's with the Canucks, I believe.
He's with the Canucks, okay. Burke's available? Is Brian Burke available before I even, like, go down this path at all? He's 69 years old, and he's the executive director of the Professional Women's Hockey League. All right, so he has a job, but can I get him to come run my team? Like, What would be the reasoning why, by the way, I'm even mentioning that? Like, someone in the league that has a proven track record of getting things done in the marketplace. That's why I mention him. I don't think he's a very good evaluator of talent in the year 2024. I'm going to be terrified of... I would be legitimately terrified of some of the mindsets that would be instilled in the Buffalo Sabres. But I guess I'm getting to a point where I just don't know what else to do. And isn't this it? Isn't this it? You can't have the excuse forever of, well, players don't want to play here. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. Like, again, the only thing I get to is, can I let someone else try to get it done? We'll see. I mean, it's also very possible they just make the playoffs this year. It's possible. I'm very interested to see what their over-under is. What's it going to be? Last year it was like 91.5 points, and that would have made the playoffs. This year, is it going to be like 82, 83, 84? Like, you might think they're going to be a bubble team again, but it's there. The path is there. If Thompson's back to form and Cousins figures something out and the goaltending holds up, and Lindy has them playing a better style, a more clear style, and the bottom six doesn't get you killed. Like, all right, there you go. Now you're in, and we don't have to talk about this. Now we don't have to even, you know, hyper-focus on, oh, you got to make a trade, you got to make a trade. Now you're just in, and now it's now it's go time. And I'm not. No one's talking about what's the GM's tenure. What's the how much rope does he have? Winning solves all that, but that hasn't happened yet. And I think what we're headed for, given that, again, I want to point this out as much as possible. They,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet, comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Didn't land the two things they either should have or did want most. Top six winger, third line center. To me, it's a failed offseason if you can't get those two things, or even one of those two things, by the start of the season. Still months to go, by the way. But if they enter the season without those two things, and the season starts to go off the rails, I mean, it's going to get ugly. Fans already, I think the approval rating for the GM is already a lot lower today than it was, I mean, certainly a year ago, and it seems to be decreasing little by little. That if the season, if they start 4-7-1, I think it gets ugly quick. However full that building will be, I think it'll be ugly pretty quick. Will it be uglier than last year? You know, they chanted fire Granato one night, and maybe that's all it would be. 803-0550 is the phone number. The blueprint is there, but I'm wondering about, like, you know, two, I mentioned some of those names, those lifer, dinosaur, hockey executive guys. I mean, I wonder what Pegula's thinking in all this. Adams has been a good soldier for him in a multitude of different roles for years. What does he think of this? Because he said 4 years ago when he hired him that he thought Adams will rise to the challenge. And if going into year five, it doesn't look like it's going in the right direction, what then? Do you let him keep going? Continuity? Not want to rock the ship? Give him another shot at it? And will you kind of revert? Will you? Because 4 years ago, the comment was, feel let down by hockey people. Well, the names I just mentioned are as hockey people as it gets. So will you go back to that? Will you promote someone from within again? Or will you go for guy that's going to come establish credibility. And even if there are some major red flags, like maybe that's all they need right now. Please, by the way, because I'm sure I'll get this tweet or this text, please let them not hire Stan Bowman. If there ever comes a day where they fire Kevin Adams, which might never happen, they might just make the playoffs and then this is a dead subject. There's no reason to talk about it. The NHL announced this week, they kind of tried to bury it within free agency, that they've reinstated Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman from Chicago. Don't do that. The grossest part about that is the word rehabilitation was mentioned with those two and zero specifics. What does that mean? What have they done? What steps have they taken? Or was it just you waited 2 years and now you're back in? Wouldn't want to go near that. 803-0550 is the phone number on all of this. Is it an acceptable excuse for Adams not landing top six forward, third line center, that players just don't want to play here? Is it acceptable to defend him on that front? Let me know what you think at 803-0550. 4th of July tomorrow. The sun is out. It's going to be warm today. Hopefully you can find some water tomorrow to stand in or swim in, because it's going to be in the high 80s. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy will join in about a half hour. Matt Beauvais in about an hour. This is WGR.
Yeah, I think it's awesome just like seeing how many guys come out of the Junior Sabres organization, and you know, we've all skated on this ice since we were younger, so it's cool seeing each other out there and like hanging out just at camp and being around each other is great to see.
Gavin McCarthy, one of the Sabre prospects at development camp this week at Harbor Center. The young guys, I used to go to those a lot. Let's try to get there maybe tomorrow morning, maybe today a little bit as well. See the new prospect, Consta Helenius. I'm going to do that a lot, I bet. Consta Helenius. What number is he wearing out there? Have we noticed? He's wearing number, did I see, well, 24 was the jersey because at the draft because of the year, right?
I want to say it still is a 4, and I think it's like a 41 or 14, maybe?
41,
No,
huh?
It wouldn't be 14.
No? Okay.
Well, no, because 14's retired. But 41 it could be.
41 is the number that Eichel wore before he actually made the team. Remember that?
That's weird.
There's a 41 Eichel jersey out there somewhere. Someone's got it, I'm sure. He didn't change to 15 until like right before he played for them. So, yeah, prospects getting going or continuing through the rest of the week. They'll have the Prospects Challenge later in the summer. Then we'll have the preseason. And the prospects that are obviously more interesting are, all right, time to make the team. Somebody do something. One of four. One of three. Whatever the number is. Maybe it's four because Helenius has been labeled as like as close to NHL ready as you can get. Sounds similar to what we heard about Zach Benson a year ago. But Helenius, along with Roseanne, whatever we're doing with his name now, and Savoy and Kulik, I really probably need one of those guys to be ready. And it's about time, right? Savoy, it's 2 years of development, but that's fair, right? And Kulik, it's 3 years of development. And Roseanne, it's 4 years of development. Do I have the years right on that? I think I do. So, no, it's three on Kulik too. Sorry, excuse me, two on Kulik, two on Savoy, three on Roseanne. That's where I'm at. So that's enough. That should be enough. If you're gonna be a really good player, that's generally enough. And I only need one of the three, I think, to really perform in that area. 803-0550 is the phone number. On the Sabres, if you've got a thought on the GM and his tenure and whether or not like this could be like even a mid-season change or should be, if the season looks to be getting off the rails at all, and I don't know what that would do to the players. It's not quite like firing a coach where you might get a spark. But there's a lot of interesting things. We'll see if we get any more signings. James Reimer was their big signing of the day yesterday, just to be their third goaltender. But it's probably pretty much done, free agency, for the Sabres. I would imagine it's pretty much done. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. Do we get sports on the 4th of July other than the hot dog eating contest? Is that it?
Baseball.
Baseball, of course, right? Yep. Because all the other holidays are getting taken over. Football's taken over, of course, Christmas, and the NBA had done that before, Thanksgiving. So, all right, yeah, baseball. Maybe there'll be a little soccer.
Oh, no. I was going to say, could there ever be a Stanley Cup final on July 4th? But
no.
Unless the whole calendar gets moved back for some reason.
They are talking of 94, by the way, Hellenius is wearing. Some are tweeting in.
I knew it had a 94. 94's...
I like the big numbers.
It's not bad.
94. Who's wore 94 in their history? Anybody? I might think no. I might think that's a number... Is that a number... that has never been worn by...
It is not listed on the Sabres jersey history on Hockey Reference.
Could be the first ever.
We've got a 92 with Alex Nylander. We've got 93s with like Doug Gilmore. Victor Antipin, Matthew Savoy.
Yep. Okay.
95, Justin Bailey, Dominic Cahoon. So
Justin Bailey wore 95?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So what you just mentioned about the schedule, I meant to bring this up a little bit earlier in the week. Look at the details on it. The NHL schedule, there are potential changes to it that would include the schedule getting moved up about a week, the NHL regular season ending about a week or two earlier, the playoffs, the Stanley Cup getting awarded a couple of weeks earlier, and part of that was... proposal that they would go to 84 games. They would add two more games to the season.
Who would you play in those two games?
That's a good question.
Because like you can't get to...
I mean...
You're just playing two random teams.
I would definitely keep them in the division. The fact that there's only two home games against Toronto all year. But they play Toronto at home like the last week of the season. The schedule came out yesterday, too. Like, second last week of the season, the Sabres will host Toronto. So the first, between now and April of next year, the next 10 months, we get one Toronto home game. One Toronto home game. And sometimes those aren't fun anymore anyway because they just kind of take it over. But yeah, 84-game season was something that I saw referenced, and I think they had that. Early 90s, maybe even 80s before that. Like, that's been done in the past. I don't know who's asking for that. The real answer is probably owners, right? Because they want to sell more tickets and they want to generate more revenue. But an 84-game schedule I did see proposed. And I don't know, like, will they ever change this playoff format? That's really what they need to do. Change the divisions back. Change the conference schedule and alignment a little bit. You know, we'll see. If they want to keep expanding, then... they're going to have to change it eventually anyway. Yeah, here we go. It was from Pierre LeBrun. Move start of regular season up to very early October. Award the cup earlier in June. Cut the preseason to 4 games per team. Love that. 84-game regular season, basically moving up 2 weeks or so. It's not awarding the cup by May 31st, but it sure beats what it's got now. These are preliminary discussions. We'll see where this goes. But the NHL and the NHLPA are talking about that a little bit. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the Sabres. Any chance we're still going to get a trade? Anyone still holding out hope on that? Anybody? I told you yesterday, I still think the only thing I'm still keeping hope in is because of Skinner. Skinner is gone, and his spot is still open. So, what was the plan there? They must have had their eyes set on somebody. And maybe that's just going to be Jason Zucker, although I can't buy that. I can't buy that him, who scored less than 30 points last year, 14 goals, is just going to slide right in and give them what Skinner did. Even last year, diminished Skinner. They moved on from Skinner. I mean, at the moment, it looks like for two reasons. Or it looks like maybe at the moment only for one reason. At this point in time, it looks like they only bought out Skinner to save money. Like money, not to use it for the team, though. Just to put it in their pockets. That's how it currently looks. I want to believe, though, that a driving force, a huge driving force in why they got rid of Skinner is they no longer believed they had a spot in the top six for him. Which, by the way, how does that look now? Because I got the Oilers GM, who was just a goal away from the cup, who said, well, we've got a spot for him in the top six. You don't want him in your top six? Well, we want him in our top six. The Sabres said they didn't have a spot in the top six for Skinner anymore. And then didn't fill it. Shouldn't I believe that they are still going to push for that opening between now and the start of the season because they moved on from Skinner? If they thought it was going to be extremely difficult for them to add a top six forward, or they didn't think they were going to be able to pull it off, why not just keep him? Why not just keep him? Even if it was what you got last year, 24 goals, playing in your top six, and then you buy him out in a year instead. The buyout would have been easier to stomach. 1 year from now, it would have been easier to stomach buying out Skinner than it was to just do it now. Why not make sure you've got the top six forward in place already before you decide to move on from Skinner? Would be my question. That is, to me, the most head-scratching series of events of this offseason yet, is I've got a team that struggled to score goals last year, that could not score when they needed to, and they bought out their third leading scorer last year. Their third leading goal scorer. They bought him out and then didn't replace him. That's the most head-scratching thing of the year so far. You save $7.5 million to get rid of your 24-goal scorer. And if I'm not even giving him the 35. You know, I'm not calling him the 35-goal scorer that he had the year before. And then I didn't replace him. That's why I want to believe that they are still going to try to between now and the start of the year. 803-0550 is the phone number. An NFL headline that I saw being kicked around, it looks like that the Brandon Ayuk chase might be dead. But alas, there might be another big idea out there that we can throw around a little bit. One other receiver. We're gonna move off Ayuk and we're gonna turn our attention, our soft focus to, hey, can this guy get out of town? Maybe someone that could become available for the Bills if things get really ugly. I'll let you know who that is when we come back. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy in about 15 minutes. Matt Bove in about 45 minutes. This is WGR.
I do not want to hear from all of you out there that are telling me that Lamar Jackson, well, they don't get him weapons. How many first-round wide receivers do you need to draft? Well, they're not drafting the right one. Well, you're not developing them. Well, how do you develop them? Well, your quarterback has a long way to go in developing wide receivers.
Mark Schlereth on one of our Odyssey podcasts. Okay. Here's why that point is pretty dumb, in my opinion. It's the quarterback's fault for not developing the wide receivers. Scott Kazmar just pointed out on that. Jackson, this is one defense I've always had of Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, how I've never liked how Baltimore's used him. Jackson is only the fourth quarterback since 1978 to have five straight seasons with fewer than 460 pass attempts starting 12 or more games. That's it. They don't throw the ball. Last year they did a little bit more, in fact a lot more, but not so much more. Still under 460 pass attempts. So, I don't know. I don't I'll defend Jackson on that. I don't think it's his fault that the receivers haven't produced or haven't developed. I mean, Marquise Brown was a pretty good player. Mark Andrews has been a pretty good player. Zay Flowers had a pretty good rookie season. On football, we'll get back to some hockey too. So I guess the momentum might appear to be pointing towards Brandon Ayuk wanting to stay in San Francisco now, which, you know, we'll see. Who was it? It was one report yesterday. Who was it? There was a report that basically that you could see a deal done in the next couple of days and that him and the Niners have been meeting, so we'll see. Ayuk might be off the table sooner rather than later. But if we want to find another pie in the sky number one wide receiver idea, I've got a story from Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk from yesterday about how the Cowboys are running out of time to avoid a mess with CeeDee Lamb. All right, my Jefferson idea is dead. Ayuk might be off the table soon enough. CeeDee Lamb skipped their whole offseason program that included mandatory minicamp, entering the fifth-year option. And they haven't paid Dak. But I don't know what the hardest part to believe about that. If this was another team, you might think, ooh, what are they doing with the quarterback? If they don't want to pay him long-term and they haven't done that with Dak, then are they going to go for a little bit of a rebuild here? New young quarterback. Maybe they'll be willing to trade the star receiver. Dallas is Dallas, though. Like, the Cowboys are never going to rebuild like that. So that would be the biggest hurdle. But keep an eye on CeeDee Lamb. We'll see. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy links in next. Matt Beauvais coming up at 8:30. We'll talk some Sabres with him as well. Stay tuned. Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR. It's the quarterback's fault for not developing the wide receivers. Scott Kazmaier just pointed out on that. Jackson... This is one defense I've always had of Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. How I've never liked how Baltimore's used him. Jackson is only the fourth quarterback since 1978 to have five straight seasons with fewer than 460 pass attempts starting 12 or more games. That's it. They don't throw the ball. Last year they did a little bit more. In fact, a lot more. But not so much more. Still under 460 pass attempts. So, I don't know. I'll defend Jackson on that. I don't think it's his fault that the receivers haven't produced or haven't developed. I mean, Marquise Brown was a pretty good player. Mark Andrews has been a pretty good player. Zay Flowers had a pretty good rookie season. On football, we'll get back to some hockey too. So I guess the momentum might appear to be pointing towards Brandon Ayuk wanting to stay in San Francisco now, which, you know, we'll see. Who was it? It was one report yesterday. Who was it? There was a report that basically that you could see a deal done in the next couple of days and that him and the Niners have been meeting, so we'll see. Ayuk might be off the table sooner rather than later. But if we want to find another pie in the sky number one wide receiver idea, I've got a story from Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk from yesterday about how the Cowboys are running out of time to avoid a mess with CeeDee Lamb. All right, my Jefferson idea is dead. Ayuk might be off the table soon enough. CeeDee Lamb skipped their whole offseason program that included mandatory minicamp, entering the fifth-year option. And they haven't paid Dak. But I don't know what the hardest part to believe about that. If this was another team, you might think, ooh, what are they doing with the quarterback? If they don't want to pay him long-term and they haven't done that with Dak, then are they going to go for a little bit of a rebuild here? New young quarterback. Maybe they'll be willing to trade the star receiver. Dallas is Dallas, though. Like, the Cowboys are never going to rebuild like that. So that would be the biggest hurdle. But keep an eye on CeeDee Lamb. We'll see. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy links in next. Matt Bove coming up at 8:30. We'll talk some Sabres with him as well. Stay tuned. Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.